set aside to practice for that. And we'll begin with our first message today. We're doing a split sermon. We'll begin with David Townsend.
Thank you, Peter, and welcome to the Feast of Trumpets. As Jim Leith has mentioned, the Feast of Trumpets is a holy convocation commemorated with trumpet blasts. The Feast of Trumpets is a central focus of prophecy, and Jim's sermon following this one will fully explain about this day. But I have another purpose, to ask the question, what is the purpose of prophecy? Why does God give prophecy? Is it so that we can say, oh, we know and nobody else does? No. Is God working to a schedule of events fixed to certain dates? The church believed in the past that prophecy was history written in advance, but the church was wrong on that, and I'm going to show you why the church was wrong on that. The churches of God have set dates in the past. In fact, all sorts of churches have set dates from 1844 onwards, perhaps before then, but I know that that's the first one in modern times. But the truth is, the future does not exist. You cannot go forward as in science fiction and see what's going to happen next year or 10 years from now or 100 years from now, because it all depends on the decisions you and I make and the decisions that God makes. Because we're free, God has given us the ability to be free moral agents. We're free to make our decisions and suffer the consequences, either good or bad. So the future is predictable, because God can predict the future, but it's not knowable. And I bring my first evidence for this. You will find in Jonah 3 verse 1. Jonah 3 verse 1. You remember Jonah was given a message to Assyria, and he promptly ran the other way, took a ship, and God caught up with him with a storm, and he was pitched into the sea by the people because Jonah told them to. And God prepared a fish to catch Jonah. And Jonah was in the fish's belly. And this is not as crazy as it seems, because apparently in the 1880s, someone was swallowed by a whale and survived in the whale. So anyway, so we go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah went, and on verse 4 he said, Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. It was a great city, 3 days' walk across, which would make it about 9 miles, 12 miles across. And he cried out and says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God and responded and repented. They even had their beasts repent. And notice what it says in verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned away from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This upset Jonah, but the point was the prophecy did not come to pass because God saw that they'd repented and changed. So that's our first example. Notice that Jonah lived in the 8th century BC when he preached to Nineveh, but Nineveh did turn away from God eventually, did turn back to their evil, and it was finally destroyed in 612 BC. So God's prophecy was actually only delayed. Now, verse notice in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Paul talks about love. And in verse 8 he says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Prophecies can fail, and Jonah is an example of a failing prophecy. God is able to foretell the future because he can make it happen. And God knows how what human beings are like and how they function. However, God can change his mind and doesn't do what he threatens. I'll give you another example in Numbers. This is sometime in the Exodus journey, Numbers 14, verse 11. It was sometime in the Exodus journey, and I think just after the spies had been sent into the land of Canaan, so it was about the second year. And God said to Moses in verse 11 of Numbers 14, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with this pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a nation greater than, mightier than they. So God actually offered Moses the opportunity to be a father of Israel in the way that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob had been. He turned it down, but God was prepared to change the circumstances while still fulfilling his prophecies. But as I say, Moses turned it down. Now if you go to Jeremiah 18, it's laid out. God lays out his thinking on prophecy. And it's the example of where Jeremiah is told by God to go down to the potter's workshop and watch the potter working on the pot on his wheel. Now I'm sure we've all seen this. In fact, when they started television in the UK, they used to have a little video when they weren't playing. They didn't have television 24/7. So when they weren't playing programs, they used to have this little video of a potter working on a pot. And you can watch him building this pot on the wheel. So this is still very familiar to him. And he said, verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation, not necessarily Israel, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation turn against whom I have spoken, turn from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. So God says prophecy is conditional on the reaction of the people. So we can switch and change. Matthew 28:19. If you think about it, the world before the flood was totally different from the world we now live in. God changed changed his approach after the people were destroyed in the flood. Now we no longer live 1,000 years. Now we no longer live in a world which is sort of subtropical. We live in a completely different world. But in Matthew 28:19, God changed his approach again. And he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Up to now, he'd only dealt with Israel. But now he was sending his apostles out to the Gentiles. Once they were converted, they became children of Abraham. But they were spiritual children of Abraham, not physical children of Abraham. So we can throw the switch and change. We can know when a prophecy has been accomplished. We can know that God has intervened in history. We can see that from the prophecies that have been fulfilled. But the thing about prophecy is that we individually can do something about it. We can change it for ourselves. If you turn to 2 Peter 3:11. I'll start reading in verse 10 to give you the context. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." He's actually talking about the time beyond the millennium, beyond when all humanity is resurrected. The earth will be re-cleansed with fire. And he says in verse 11, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" How do we react to prophecy? Prophecy is given for us to react and change. Christ will return, but when he does, is to some degree in the hands of all human beings, whether they repent or not. And of course, God the Father fulfilling his plan. God's plan will be fulfilled in one way or another. Therefore, we cannot predict a date or time. Isaiah 46:9. Isaiah 46:9. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure." God is in charge. And he works things according to the way things are going in this world, according to his plan, and how people react. And back in 2 Peter 3:14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." Our obedience is to the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, is part of our work job. As part of our first fruits, our job is to make ourselves ready for the return of Christ. As it says in Revelation 19:7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Let's meditate on how we can make ourselves ready. Brethren, let's start by walking closer to God every day.